Blog Talk Radio. All right. Welcome to the Queen's Court, where the Kingdom Woman speaks. This is Prophetess Nadia Plunkett. Amen, amen. It's such an honor and a joy again to be here on the Queen's Court, your host for tonight, holding it down for our other queens, the women on the wall, Prophetess Beverly Jordan and Queen Lynn Brunessa Brown. All right. They are traveling. We had an awesome time with the women on the wall this past weekend, and it was just a phenomenal time to be able to get together with other queens and to share queen thoughts and, you know, just be amongst kingdom-minded people. Is truly, truly an awesome joy and pleasure. Well, we're going to roll right into today's show, tonight's session here on the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks. If you'd like to join us live via the internet, your iPad, your Android phone, your iPhone, any your PC, any type of electronic, you can certainly do so by punching in www.blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the Spot. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the Spot. And if you'd like to dial in, we want you to dial in and get in on the talk on tonight. We want you to, if you're a kingdom-minded woman, if you're a kingdom-minded man, we want you to join in and let's hear your reviews. Let's hear your thoughts, your opinions on tonight's subject. We're going to be talking about the attitude. We're going to be talking about, you know, the queen attitude. What is the queen attitude? What kind of mindset does the queen have to have? What kind of mindset does the queen possess? And how do we get there? You know, if we don't necessarily already have that kingdom mind, if we don't have the mindset of a queen, what is it? What does it look like? So we want you to go ahead and dial in. Go ahead and dial in on 347-945-5416. And so we are here on tonight. I'm hosting by myself, so we holding it down, like I said, for the queens who are traveling. We continue to pray, travel, and mercy for them as they travel back to the West Coast. We're definitely missing them already on tonight. Amen, amen. But we're going to go right into our discussion on tonight. So, again, if you'd like to dial in and be a part of tonight's discussion, more than welcome to just go ahead and dial 347-945-5416 and press 1 if you have a question, comment, or concern. So tonight I wanted to talk about the queen mindset and more specifically, you know, the attitude that a queen has, you know, her mindset, her what runs her thought process. And the reason this particular avenue of thought came up was because, you know, as we had a time to fellowship and be amongst each other, all the different queens, you know, in the New Testament temple in Time Remnant International Ministries, the women on the wall, we, you know, we all very different women, very different queens, and we have varying personalities. We have, you know, various temperaments, but we all were able to mesh together. You know, we had some hiccups and things like that, but we were, you know, just real women being real women. And so it kind of brought to my mind, what exactly is, you know, a queen mindset? What does that look like for those of us who are trying to get there, for those of us who are trying to, you know, attain that level of thinking, for those of us who are trying to obtain, you know, a higher level of being, you know, so that the word says that so a man is as he thinks. So just getting to that point where we are thinking kingdom, when we are thinking, you know, in that elevated state, you know, and their attitude has a lot to do with it. And so I want to, you know, touch on that. Now I got to come from my perspective, and I understand that a lot of times we have so many different messages that are the media, society puts out. We have so many different messages that, you know, goes out in the church world, in the secular world. And there's just so many, you know, that we never really know where to take our cues from. You know, how do we understand what exactly, how are we supposed to think? What does an elevated mindset look like? I remember back in school, one of the main mantras that we were taught was that your attitude determines your altitude. So basically, you know, your attitude is going to determine how far you get in life, how, you know, it's almost the same concept of you get more flies or you get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. So, you know, it's just about, you know, are you a bitter person? Are you, you know, a sweet person? You know, are you aggressive? Are you meek? You know, how do you find that balance? But one of the main things is, you know, that I can remember that they drove into us is your attitude. And your attitude determined how people respond to you. Now, I come to understand that there's two different sides to that because, you know, you can have a very, very aggressive attitude. And, you know, we have all this, these messages going out there, but you got to be bold. You have to be strong. You know, Steve Harvey says, you know, act like a lady, think like a man. You know, we got the whole, you know, I'm a boss movement. We've got so many different things going on to where, you know, it's almost as though women in an attempt, and this is in my, you know, my opinion, we definitely want you to call in if you have a different view or, you know, if you connect with this opinion or whatever. But one of the things that I noticed is that, you know, trying to fall into that atmosphere of asserting yourself. And I do believe that that we as queens, we do have to assert ourselves in a certain kind of a way. We have to assert ourselves. We can't necessarily be, you know, so meek in a sense. Cause we, you know, it's kind of like hard to find that balance because we can't be so meek and so quiet that we get run over. But you have a certain presence about yourself. You have a certain presence about your how you carry yourself, because even how you carry yourself has a lot to do with your attitude. So your attitude is not necessarily all-encompassing just your speech, but it also encompasses how you carry yourself. It encompasses how other people perceive you. You know, it does encompass how you speak, and it does encompass how you think, because if you don't think of yourself, you know, at an elevated level, and I'm not talking about being, you know, overly proud. I'm not talking about, you know, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, because the Bible definitely speaks against that. So we're not talking about thinking that, oh, I'm so much better than her or I'm so much better than him, but it's about kind of having that God confidence, having that kingdom confidence. And so going back to dealing with attitude and this, on one side we have this aggressive nature that has been pushed out into society. And I believe it's because, you know, women have taken such a back seat and a back role for so many years and, you know, kind of looked upon in a subservient way. And even though, you know, we know that the woman is, you know, the weaker vessel, but not necessarily, you know, weaker in a sense that she is incapable, but weaker in the sense that the man is supposed to, you know, be the strength and be able to cover the woman. So not that the woman should be looked upon as, you know, weak in a sense of incapable of handling herself or incapable of handling, you know, life and situations, because when it comes down to it, women have to be strong because we have to be, you know, everything usually for everybody. You know, so even in our homes, in our relationships, we are the lawyer, we are the doctor, we're the counselor, you know, we're the soccer coach, we're the, you know, the basketball coach, we're the cook, we're the chef, you know, we're the accountant, we wear and don so many different hats. So it's not a matter of, you know, being incapable. And we're also the ones to kind of, you know, be the ones to bring that balance. And we still have to nurture and to, you know, to love and to, you know, be the nurse sometimes. So it has nothing to do with, you know, a capability, but at the same time, just being that softer vessel. And so because of that, I believe that so many, you know, years and years of that type of thinking that has kind of came out with this, you know, feminist movement to pull the woman into the limelight and force her way up and to make a stand. But I believe that, you know, in certain aspects, it has gone to be a little bit too aggressive. And I have to say, because, and again, going back to the whole, you know, the think like a, act like a lady and think like a man, like I have to equate myself as, you know, a male in order to be respected. And as a queen, you don't have to do that, you know, but I noticed that we have so many women who are trying to get to this place where they are recognized, where they are seen, where they are valued for who they are. And so I believe that all of that encompasses attitude and how you really think about yourself and how you relate to yourself. Because when I think of a queen, I don't see overly aggressive. I don't see passive aggressive. I see a certain type of strength that is, it just is. It's powerful. It's that strength that, you know, it commands attention, but it's very, very feminine. It's very ladylike, but it's still, you know, when you see the queen, you see respect. When you see the queen, you see that not only does she command respect, but you can see that that command of respect comes from herself as well. So that means to me that the queen respects herself. And that means to me that because the queen respects herself, she has an understanding of who she is. She has an understanding of her worth. So, and because she understands her worth, because she understands who she is and her position, okay, I believe that position is so key. When you understand who you are, that's number one. When you understand your position in the kingdom, because if she's a queen, she's obviously in the kingdom. She knows her place and she knows how to play her role, and she doesn't have any qualms about it. She's not confused. She's not, you know, wishy-washy. She's very, very firm yet elegant. So, again, she knows who she is. And because she knows who she is, she does not allow anybody to negate that. She understands her position. And again, because she understands her position, she doesn't allow anybody to negate that. And she's comfortable in her skin. Those are three characteristics of a queen that pertain to her attitude that I feel that we have to really begin to assess and address, because she's, like I said, I'm going to say it again, she knows who she is. She's confident in who she is. She knows her position, and she's comfortable in her skin. So all of that, it comes from, you know, an inner work, an inner sense of confidence, of knowing who and what and where you belong. And so when you have that, I don't feel like you have to be overly aggressive. I don't feel like you have to lose yourself and become, you know, so much so to the point where you are so aggressive and that you're so takeover and that you're so dominant that you lose your feminine quality. And it's almost as though you're fighting past, and I hope somebody catches it, that you're fighting past who you really are. So you're really, you're going over into another area. That you're so aggressive, it's almost like it's almost a masculine type of aggressiveness, that now you've taken on this attitude and this mentality that's a pseudo attitude or a false sense of who you are, because you've completely passed your femininity. You've passed your position. You've passed, you know, even feeling confident in yourself, because you're trying so hard to be seen, and you're being trying so hard to be recognized that you complete, that you're working overtime. You know, the, one of the words that they, the phrases that they like to use these days is work smarter, not harder. And in a sense, I kind of do agree. You know, stop trying to fit in with the status quo. Be the status quo. You know, stop trying to fit in with what society dictates a queen looks like, and truly identify that you are, every queen is different. Every queen has a different temperament. Every queen has a different personality. But the one thing, the things that they have in common are those three things that I mentioned before. She knows who she is. She knows her position, and she's confident in her skin. So no matter, you don't have to fit. You don't have to look like, you know, Molly Sue. You don't have to have the attitude of Molly Sue. You don't have to look like, you know, Oprah. You don't have to, you know, who else is out there that's, you know, really on the top of their game that people tend to look at. You don't have to be the next Iyanla VanZant, but you have and you possess on the inside of you everything that you need to be your own queen. And so you don't have to, you know, over exert yourself in order to exude these qualities and these properties of a queen. But when you get your attitude right, when you get your mind right, when you begin to identify with who you are, you know, and not try to fit in with society, you know, I see so many women, especially in the church, you know, everybody wants to be like the first lady. Everybody wants to be like the women who are in leadership. And they, it's awesome, it's fantastic. We should have role models to look up to. Even younger women should have role models. We should be women that the younger women should be able to look up to. You know, over in Titus, it tells us that, you know, that the older women teach the younger women how to, you know, to take care of the husbands, how to, you know, cook and clean and wash, how to run businesses, you know, walk them through what it means to be a Proverbs 31 woman, you know, take them through all of those steps. So, yes, absolutely, we have to have mentors and women and queens, mature queens that we can look up to, and then in some stage we have to be those mature queens for other young ones coming up to look after. But what we have to get out of is this trying to be cookie cutter. We have to stop trying to stop having this attitude that we are not enough, that we don't equate to anything if we don't dress like First Lady, if we don't look like Oprah, if we don't speak like Iyanla, if we don't sing like Beyonce, if we don't, you know, if we don't fit into these categories, if we don't cook like Paula Deen, you know, whatever the case is, whatever this cookie cutter mold is, if we don't move away from that attitude of trying to fit into somebody else's shoes, then we will never be able to know how we fit in our own slipper. You know, even as I'm reminded, I'm thinking about, you know, Snow White and, Cinderella, as a matter of fact, where she had went to the ball and all the stepsisters and things like that. And, you know, she lost her shoe and this, and everybody else was trying to fit into this glass slipper. You know, everybody wanted to, you know, be the one that the prince, you know, found and that the shoe fit, but nobody, none of the ladies, none of the princesses, none of the young ladies that went to the ball could fit the slipper. The only person that could fit the slipper was Cinderella. And so using that to say this, if you can't fit in anybody else's shoe, you can only fit your shoe. And you may be wondering, okay, what does shoes have to do with attitude? What does Cinderella have to do with attitude? But really and truly, it has everything to do with your attitude. Because if your mind is not right, if you're not in a place, you know, if you don't have right believing, if you don't have right thought process, it's difficult to be able to really view yourself as a queen, especially if you have had, you know, things happen to you
in your lifetime and in your lifespan that have taken, you know, its toll on you and really beat you down. Even, you know, earlier we were talking, I was talking with amongst, you know, the other queens, the women on the wall, and we were just kind of sharing, or they were sharing, you know, some of their life experiences that can really, like, and if you really looked at it and took it back in retrospect, it would really, really, really take you down and cause you to have a low sense of self-worth. You know, you have an attitude that could go either way. And we didn't even touch on the other side of this attitude issue. We, you know, can really cause you to be very, very aggressive in your actions. But then it could also cower you down to the point that you are so, you know, meek that you don't even believe in yourself. You know, so we have these two different ends of the spectrum where it can either cause you to be overly aggressive, where you completely, you know, you're running at 1,000 miles and you have already missed your mark. You've completely passed where your stop was because you were just running so fast. You just wanted to be heard. You wanted to be seen, and you wanted to be respected, you know, for something. So you locked in on something, and you saw it, and you decided, well, I want to fashion myself after that. Not only do I want to fashion myself after that person, but I want to be that person. So you completely lose the embodiment of yourself. So, yes, we understand that there's different things that go on in our life, that different challenges that we face and different obstacles that have been placed before us that we have to overcome. But that does not make us any less queen. We still have to learn how to think of ourselves as we truly are. And, you know, I don't want to get all churchy, but when we really get into the word and we begin to understand that if our father is a king, then naturally we're young princesses and coming up to be queens as we mature. So the more that we understand and we begin to understand and delve into who we truly are, is the more that what will come out of us is that attitude of a queen, that silent strength, that aura around you and about you, that when you step into the room, the atmosphere automatically changes. You know, people are running you down to make sure that you're comfortable, that your needs are taken care of, because you command a certain presence about yourself. Don't let me talk here about myself. Y'all come on in and dial 347-945-5416. If you have a question, comment, or concern and want to join in with the discussion, we're talking about the queen's attitude, the way that you think, the way you carry yourself, and the way that you believe in yourself, and how what does that look like? What should it be? How do we identify in our own queen attitude without trying to duplicate somebody else's? You know, it's wonderful to have a mentor and to pick certain jewels and nuggets from. But at the same time, we should not be fashioning ourselves after completely somebody else in order to be, you know, a clone. We are individual and we have to embrace our own queenness. But sometimes it's kind of hard to find that balance. You know, so that's what we're discussing on tonight here on the Queen's Court, where the Kingdom Woman speaks. So if you'd like to join us via internet on any of your mobile devices, your iPad, your iPhone, your Android devices, go ahead and punch us in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the spot. Or if you'd like to dial us in where you can actually have an opportunity to discuss the matter, go ahead, 347-945-5416. We welcome your call. Go ahead and press 1 when you have a question, comment, concern, or just want to have your add to the discussion. We welcome it. We're going to be taking a break in just a few moments. Before we go to break, we're talking about the Kingdom Woman. We're talking about the queen and her attitude, her whole persona, her aura, the way she carries herself, the way she thinks about herself. What does that look like to you? What does that mean to you? You know, I kind of touched on, you know, some areas that I see, you know, where a lot of women are embracing this very aggressive nature, and even to the point where, you know, there's a loss of that gentle femininity, you know, that womanness, you know, if that's even really a word, but that finesse of a woman that, you know when a lady, okay, you know when a lady has entered the room because her presence is known. You know, you're not confused. You know, a lot of times when men walk in the room and they have such a hard, rough demeanor about themselves that there's nothing really feminine about it. And I think it's this battle, this struggle to be heard, to be seen, to be, you know, embraced. I am woman, hear me roar. But they're doing it in such a way that it's so overly aggressive that you lose that feminine touch. And we don't want to lose. We want to bring back that feminine touch, because that I truly, truly believe that it's that feminine touch, it's that certain essence that only a woman has that brings balance to this world, that brings balance. And if everything is all so, you know, super aggressive, then where really is the balance? Where's the nurturing? Where's that essence of a woman? So that's what we're talking about. We're going to go into a short break, and we'll be right back. And we're going to talk about the flip side of it, of the aggression and the attitude. And we're going to talk about those that are so, you know, very, very demure, you know, just really, really quiet and just allow any and everything to happen because they really truly don't understand their worth. So they don't surpass where they are. They never really rise up to it. So that's what we're going to be discussing when we come back from the break. So join us back here on the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks.
Satisfied with Jesus, yeah.
I'm satisfied.
Satisfied with Jesus, yeah.
I'm satisfied.
Satisfied with Jesus, yeah.
I'm satisfied.
I'm glad my soul is anchored in Jesus. Yes, I am.
I'm satisfied.
Church, I'm glad that I got my health and strength, yeah.
I'm satisfied.
Ooh. Glad I got my health and strength. Mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied.
So glad I got my health and strength. Yeah.
I'm satisfied.
Ooh, we are.
Totally
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied.
I'm satisfied. Good God, Almighty.
I'm satisfied.
Oh, yes, I am now. You know what? I finally got my business fixed, yeah.
I'm satisfied.
Anybody out there got your business fixed? Mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied.
I'm glad that I got my business fixed.
I'm satisfied.
I'm glad my soul is anchored in
Jesus.
Yes, I am.
I'm satisfied.
Oh, I'm satisfied. Why I'm satisfied. Clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, food on my table, family doing alright. I got eyes that can see, legs that can walk. I got a tongue that can talk. I got feet that can walk. I got a hand I can wave. I got a soul that can say, don't you know I'm satisfied? Makes no difference to me what folks say about me. Church, I'm satisfied. I never will forget that day when the Spirit fell on me. I've reached since that day. I've been some time now, but I want to thank the Lord for letting me be satisfied. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you, Jesus. What you done for me, you done what the doctor could not do. your town. We coming to your town. And if you satisfied what the Lord has done for you, we want you to testify and let somebody know that you're satisfied. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. My good God Almighty. I know you've been good to me. I'm still satisfied. I don't live in a mansion. I got a small house, but you know what? I'm satisfied.
Oh my goodness, I hope you all enjoyed that. There is nothing like some Canton spirituals to get you going. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you satisfied with your life? Are you satisfied, Queen? Are you satisfied? Are you living up to your fullest potential? Are you living up to the status of the Queen that is already on the inside of you? Are you tapping into your queen, the essence of the queen that is on the inside of you? If you're not, then you're doing yourself a disservice because you are a queen. I just want to stop just long enough to tell you that whether you're listening live or you tune in and you catch the replay, I want you to be encouraged right here, right now, queen. And let you know that you are a queen, that you don't have to look, you don't have to speak, you don't have to sound, you don't have to act like anybody else, but you are awesome just as you are. You have everything that is that you need to rise up and to put on your queen's garment. It's already on the inside of you. Sometimes we just got to shell off some stuff in order for that to come through. Sometimes we got to peel away some layers in order for the essence of the queen that is already on the inside of us to come through. Sometimes we got to buff some things. We got to shine it up in order for the essence of the queen to come through. So I want you to know that you are a queen. You are a queen. You are a queen. And I pray the queen's mindset on you, a kingdom of God-minded woman that knows who she is, okay, that knows her position in the kingdom and how valuable that position is and is comfortable in her own skin. Those are the three main qualities of a queen, and it doesn't have to look like anybody else's. All you got to do is know who you are and whose you are, okay? You've got to know your position, that your position is not below, but it's above. It's, you are part of the kingdom. There can't be a kingdom without a queen, okay? It goes hand in hand. So you are a queen, and when you are confident in the skin that you are in, and when you are confident in who you are, on the vessel that you are, when you know that you know that you know that you've been cut from some priestly cloth, you've got it. You've got it. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't look like somebody else, because you are unique and you are a queen. Just real quickly, want to let you know, if you desire life coaching, if you are not satisfied with where you are and you really, really, you know, have been saying that, you know what, I know that there's more on the inside of me and I need help breaking through this shell. I need help pulling this out. I need help identifying my purpose. I want to stand up. I want to, you know, have that finesse. I want the essence of a queen. And I need some coaching. Everybody, trust me, we all need mentors. We all need somebody who is going to stand beside us and, you know, and rock out with us and be that we can trust,
to tell us the truth. We don't need any yes people who are just going to yes us to death, literally, and not tell us when our boo-boos think and not straighten us back up and not help us to get on the right track and live up to the full potential that we are destined to live in. We need somebody who's going to motivate us, who is going to catapult us to our destiny. So I encourage you, if you desire life coaching for every or any area of your life, whether it be, you know, your business-wise, you're getting your personal self together, setting some goals, you know, spiritually, whatever the case is, check out Life Solutions. I am a certified professional life coach, and I would love nothing more than to coach you to excellence, because I believe that everybody is designed and destined to live life in full excellence. That's how we're supposed to live. That's how our Father the King desires for us to live. So in your spare time, check out www.life, LISE-SOL.com, lifesoul.com. Check out all the different packages if you desire to get in touch with me. Certainly, 404-590-5354. Schedule your free, okay, my gift to you, a free 15-minute consultation. So go ahead, book your free appointment on the website or dial that number, 404-590-5354, or send us an email at nadialifesol@gmail.com. So that's nadialifesol@gmail.com. I look forward to, again, to coaching you to excellence if you're not satisfied. And even if you are and you feel like there's even more that we should, that you need to go, another area that you need to tap into, go ahead and reach out to Life Solutions. Amen. Well, we discussed the attitude of the queen, the persona of the queen, her essence, her finesse. And, you know, this whole, you know, aggressive, really, really aggressive attitude that many women are taking in order to find their place in society and find their place, you know, in the church, find their place even in their homes, you know, just so they could be heard, you know, just trying to make their presence known. And so we have this uber aggressive, but then we have on the flip side of on this attitude scale, if you will, is those that are so demure, the queens that don't even know that they are queens, that they don't, you know, that don't rock the boat, don't tip the boat over. I'm fine here in this corner. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. You know, I'm quite fine, not even being seen. But see, that too, in my eyesight, is not living up to your full potential. Whereas, you know, I feel like an aggressive woman, an aggressive lady, you know, runs past her point, in a sense. And then now we have, you know, the really, really, you know, sublime woman who doesn't even come up to her point. And so, you know, really has, you know, low self-esteem, doesn't really have any confidence in herself. You know, a lot of times, I know everybody was not born with, you know, a silver spoon in their mouth, with the perfect, you know, family where everything was just peachy keen, you know, with the white picket fence, you know, family dinners every evening at 6 p.m. I understand. And sometimes so many things can come and attack our thought process, attack who we are, and cower us down to the point that, you know, we begin to get very, very fearful. And so in order to kind of protect, you know, ourselves, we kind of go into this cocoon, we go into this shell, and we're happy there.
but then we're not really happy there because that's not where we really desire to be. But for some reason, it feels safe, but then, you know, there's still that longing that, you know, I want more, but here's safe. So I don't even, I'm not going to go out to the ocean. I'm not going to put my foot in the water. I don't even want the waves, you know, I'm running, you know. And so this woman that does, you know, and then she allows life to happen to her with or without her consent, because she really and truly does not know who she is, and she struggles with valuing herself. And so she lets everybody else dictate who she should be. And whoever dictates, you know, whoever is in her life at that particular time, she morphs, you know. So, you know, whatever it is that they desire for her to be, that's who she is. So she really does not have a clear lock on her own essence, on who she is. And so that is, you know, it's so disheartening, you know, to when we see, at least when I see, you know, women in that kind of a state, because it's almost like the little girl trapped on the inside, screaming to come out, but scared to come out at the same time. So, you know, even the from being overly aggressive to being, you know, not aggressive enough, you know, and just being so down and so downtrodden and allowing people to just run and walk over you. And that's not being a queen either. And so we have to be in a position, I believe, to those of us, and I understand that every day that we are allowed the grace to live, every day that we're allowed the grace to draw another breath, it's an opportunity for us to discover ourselves. And a lot of times we don't even know that we're queens. And so especially if you have had some situations, you know, many have come from, you know, abusive relationships where they don't really know who they are because it's been literally beaten out of them. And, you know, I want to share a personal testimony. In a previous, you know, marriage, I was always very, very spunky, very outgoing, very, you know, life was, you know, good in my eyes. You know, yes, I had ups and downs, but, you know, I was always very, very fun-loving and you know, I spoke my mind. You know, I wasn't short on words at all. And, you know, in my first marriage, and, you know, everything was, I was young, and, you know, I, you know, was the first, you know, my first marriage, my first love, everything. And so I was head over heels, and I, you know, there is such a thing as fools rush in, you know, so I was definitely a fool, and I ran in, and, but I was gung-ho, and everything was great, and everything was fine. But what I didn't realize was that over the course of that relationship, I began to diminish because I allowed my ex-husband to chip away at parts of me, you know. So I was never like overly aggressive or anything like that, but I had a pretty good, you know, sense of self. You know, I was, you know, pretty confident in myself, but I allowed somebody to chip that away from me. I allowed somebody to steal my identity. And, you know, sometimes I even say that I didn't even allow them to steal it. I gave it to them, you know, because everything that happened began to kind of, you know, send me further and further down into this spiral of depression and just, you know, wanted to, you know, I was happy just being balled up, you know, in a corner somewhere. And I knew on the inside that really and truly wasn't me. And, you know, it got into a situation where not only was there verbal abuse, but there was physical abuse. And I almost, you know, although it blew my mind, I almost got to the point where I accepted it. And that's not something, you know, necessarily that I grew up
you know, around per se. You know, I know that my mom had experienced both types of abuse in her marriage before, but it wasn't something that was prevalent to me, you know, especially in my growing up years. It was mostly in my formative years as a younger child, but not something that I saw on a regular basis. And so definitely wasn't something that I came to, that I expected, you know, when I myself got married. But what I noticed was that it cowered me down. It beat me down into a place where I just was happy being in this little cocoon. But then again, like I said earlier, I wasn't really happy because I knew on the inside that that essence was not me. So I understand that, you know, there's a lot of things that go on and that can really, you know, push a woman down and push, you know, a lady down into a place where she does not even know who she is any longer. And sometimes life happens and it feels like it's happening and we don't have any control over it. And one of the things that even, you know, as I'm sharing that story, that we tend to look at things, you know, because this is the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks. So it's not necessary. We on the inside of the church, you know, we on the inside of the church are always looking at women on the outside of the church and suspecting that, you know, oh, you know, once you're in the church that these things don't happen, that they don't occur. That's just not what it is. And so a lot of times I see women who will turn up their noses, in a sense, women who are in the church will turn up their noses at those who are not in the church or not in the body yet. You know, they're still coming, but they haven't, you know, fully come on in. But we turn up, I haven't turned up my nose because I know I've been there. But, you know, a lot of times people turn up their noses at the women on the outside. Well, how can you allow this to happen? How would, you know, that would never be me and this and that or whatever. But the woman on the inside of the church is wearing a mask because she's going through the same thing. She's been cowered down into this place, been abused, been hurt, been, you know, stepped on, stomped on, somebody has stepped in poop and wiped it on her like she's the mat. You know, and this is in the church, but because it's in the church and you're supposed to be whole in the church, you know, I can't show you my scars. Because then if I show you my scars, then that means that there's something wrong with me and I'm defective, and I can't be defective in the church. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all not going to rock with me. I can't be defective in the church. So we still have these two different perspective. So you have the woman who is the overly aggressive because she's trying to overcompensate for, you know, certain things. And then you have the one that, you know, has literally been beaten into the ground. And so what I want to say on tonight is that on either side of the spectrum, that's not whole. On either side of the spectrum, we have to get to a place where we are in a balance. Where we, like I said at the beginning of the show, where we know who we are and whose we are, we understand our position, and we are confident and comfortable in the skin that we are in, okay? So that's where we have to be. That's where we have to be. We have to be in the middle. We have to understand where we are. We have to. And we as Kingdom women, we have to be in a place where we can identify and we can, you know, show our scars, because sometimes our scars help somebody else. Amen. I see that we have a caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and call her. Let you come on and speak to us.
Hello, it's Evangelist Williams.
Hi, Evangelist Williams. How are you?
I am great. I am great. Good to hear you.
It's great to hear you. I've missed you. We've missed you.
I missed you, too.
Awesome.
I missed you, too.
Well, we thank you so much for calling in on tonight. We're talking, you know, here on the Queen's Court with a Kingdom Woman Speaks. We're talking about the Queen's attitude and the two
mm-hmm.
different perspectives, you know, the aggressive versus the I want to say the very, very demure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard most of the show, and I understand what you're saying about the women in the church, and
mm-hmm.
how it's very sad that when someone comes in as a newborn babe and they're already beat down, that
yes.
They come to a ministry thinking they're going to get a hand up, and then they just get beat down again. And I think it's really sad because you go to the church and expect to get some kind of help, to get some kind of reassurance that it's okay, things are going to be all right. But I found that a lot of times women in the church are wearing masks, and they go
mm-hmm.
home, and their life is not, is, you know, I used to sit and watch married couples in church, and then I would find out down the road that their marriage only appeared to be good in my eyesight. But then down the road, they'd get divorced, and it was like, wow. So you can't even go by what appears to be, quote, unquote, normal marriage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the what happened, you know, in my case was I had to start focusing on me. And what really helped me was I studied Deborah, and she was a prophetess, but she had to stand in the position in a time where a woman was not supposed to be at the head. And
right.
God used her to pull the men out of their cowardice, you know. And so I was like, wow, Lord, that's awesome, you know. And then she couldn't even take the glory for the victory. She had to give it to a man, but it brought the man into his, to right standing with God. So I even see, you know, her being a mother and a wife, she still had to play that queen's role, but she still
right.
knew her place. And so
right.
I think as women, we need to find our place and know that even though we may have to go, I heard an awesome testimony today about a woman that grew up in church, and she had a checklist, and everything was right. And one day her husband had called her, and he wanted her to bring the van home, and he had the company car, and you couldn't use the company car. And when she got home, he wasn't dressed. He was in, you know, just leisure clothes, and he was like, well, she had punched the time clock. And she said, well, honey, I got to go back to work. And he said, well, I want to take you back to work. And she was just like, no, I punched the clock. I have to go. My friend's waiting outside. And he said, I want to take you back to work. And he slapped her hand. And then she's like, insisted. And then he punched her in the face. And the next thing he said to her was, you know what, tonight we're going to die. And he took a gun out of her out of his pocket, and he shot her in the head. Now, she's thinking that she was shot on the arm because she felt the blood flow, but she was shot from ear to ear. The bullet went from ear to ear. And I was like, so sometimes we're married to somebody who we think is one way, and they're
right.
not. But
right.
as a woman of God, she took a stand, and she, you know, she trusted God and believed God, and they couldn't even, she was a miracle. She was a miracle. But sometimes God puts us in these positions with these relationships where we think we know who we marry, but we really don't
right.
know. And so we get ourselves
right.
in positions where we start getting beat down, you know, or, you know, this other personality comes out of this individual, and it's all of a sudden now we have to cater to this person that we marry, and we don't think that's the
right.
way out. And so what happens is we lose our identity. Or,
yes.
you know, in my
yes.
situation, I would cover my ex-husband's drug addiction, you know,
right.
and we lose our identity, and then we get beat down, and then we don't know, you know, we don't have anybody that we can run to or feel that we can run to that would understand, because a lot
exactly.
of times the women are in the same place, It's like, well, I can't help you because I'm in my own situation. You know what I'm saying? But it's like we have to be, as women, we have to be open and we have to be honest and we have to find someone that can really mentor us and help us get restored. Now, it took me a while to get to that place of having my confidence restored, but the Lord sent a woman into my life 12 years ago who every time she came to the ministry, she would come and bring me a cup of water. She would just bring me that encouragement. You know, it was outside of my ministry.
Right.
There wasn't anybody in my ministry that could help me. God had to bring someone to me. And sometimes we just have to ask God to bring someone to me that can help me get out of the situation that I'm in. And, you know, and then, you know, we have to tell ourselves, too, that, you know what, I may be beat down, I may be lost, but God said I'm a queen. God said I am his child. God said that I'm born again, that all things are, old things have passed away. And sometimes we got to encourage ourselves. You know, and that's a big thing that a lot of women don't do. They don't encourage themselves. You know, I would shut myself away and get in the Word, and I would just start speaking words to my, you know what, Jesus said I could do this, so I am who he says I am. I can do what the Word says I can do. I'm delivered. I'm healed. And sometimes we just have to talk to ourselves until God sends someone in your life that can do that for you. And that's what Deborah did. God allowed her to step into a place where the men weren't stepping into their position. So he had to use a woman to bring that voice, and then they said, well, she goes, we'll go. You know, and sometimes we just have to get into that place where we find that mentor that'll say, you know what, follow me as I follow Christ, and we can get through this thing.
Now, let me ask you this, Evangelist, because I really, really believe that, you know, we don't necessarily have, we're not always 100% together. But I believe that 9 times out of 10, you know, even, you know, those of us who are, you know, somewhat on the way, how important is it for us to be in position, not only for ourselves, but be in position to be able to help somebody who's not in position?
It's very important. It's because, you know, your testimony says a lot. There could be someone, you know, I walk on the street every day, and I may come up to a woman, you know, well, even in my home. I had a woman come here, my daughter's, you know, she's disabled, and her aide came in, and she came in distraught one day. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she said, my daughter ran away. I haven't heard from her all weekend. And the Holy Ghost said, minister to her. And I was like, okay. And the Lord used me to minister to her and then found out that she had all these walls that were built up because of the abuse in her relationships. She has 7 daughters. 2 of them are homosexual. She's carried all this weight.
Yeah.
But being in the right position at the right time, I was able to help her, and God used me to help her to the point where she came back and gave her life back to God. And she realizes that, you know what, I'm not alone. There's someone else out here that's been through maybe not the same situation, but something similar, who can recognize the pain. Do you know what I'm saying? Who recognize the suffering, you know? And so that I believe that our testimony speaks volumes. And we have to be in that place to be sensitive to the Lord, so when someone does come in our path, we can discern or we can recognize. It's like, you know what, can I talk to you? You know, we just have to be in that. We always have to be about our Father's business, always, no matter where we go. You know, there's been times where I'd be driving in my car and I'll see a situation. I'll stop my car and I'll pull the person out and put him in my car. And it's like, you don't have to be abused by that man. You know what I mean? And I would bring him home. You know, you know, my ex-husband said, you bringing another one home? And it's like, yeah, because you know what? Someone has to do this. You know? It's like, I'm ordained to do this. I guess I'm ordained to do this, you know, because I've been through it. And so I know, of a woman's heart, if you can't get to that woman, why that woman's heart is tender enough, you know, you don't know what extremes they'll go to. You know, that's why we have so many prostitutes, and that's why we have so many women on drugs and so many women doing things that they don't really want to do because they're trying to mask that hurt.
Right. They're trying
to get rid of – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, so they're trying to dull the pain.
Dull the pain, exactly. So you end up doing things that you really don't want to do, but it's the only thing you know to do.
Right. Right. Wow. Well, we're here on the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks. We're going to be wrapping up the show in just a few moments. You still have a few minutes to get in on the conversation, on the discussion. You know, the attitude of the queen, you know, aggressive versus, you know, really, really down there, not really, you know, identifying with who she is. What does the queen attitude look like? You know, how do we get to this place where we know who we are, where we know whose we are, where we know our position, which is so key and so vital, and then also where we are confident in our own, and when we're confident in our, you know, in what God has put in us, to the point that we're not looking, you know, and trying to look like an assembly line or of manufactured queens. You know, we're not an assembly line of Barbie dolls, you know, that everyone looks exactly the same, you know, everybody dresses the same. But when we get to this place where we identify us, you know, the queen in us, and are comfortable knowing that my queen finesse may not look like Evangelist Williams' queen finesse, but that make us any less queens together. You know, so when do we get to that point where we're not overstretching by being so aggressive that we miss our point and our placement, and when do we come and we rise up? You know, what does that look like? Go ahead and take the last couple of minutes to join us in on the call, if you will, on the discussion, 347-945-5416. If you'd like to listen to us live on your mobile devices, on your laptop, on your iPad or your iPhone, www.blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the spot. This is your host, Prophetess Nadia Plunkett, holding it down for the other women on the wall, the queens who are traveling. We continue to pray travel and mercy for them, Prophetess Beverly Jordan and Queen Vanessa Lynn Brown and Ambassador Tina Hubert. So we bless God for them in their absence, and we bless God for Evangelist Williams joining us here on discussion here on the Queen's Court. I also just want to put out there real quickly, 5 a.m. prayer hosted by New Testament Temple End Time Remnant International Ministries every Monday through Saturday at 5 a.m. We are on the threshing floor where we are declaring and decreeing over your life, over our life, over our communities, our state, our government. And so if you would like to get in and be blessed, do send your information, send an email to newtestamenttemple@gmail.com where we might get you registered and get you that call information. Also, 10 o'clock morning manna, I mean, where the Rhema word connect with the Logos word. And my God, what an explosion of revelation it is. Every single Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the prophetic Bible study, Fresh Morning Manna. It's awesome. It's off the hook. And by none other than the founder and visionary of New Testament Temple, Prophet Yahushua Brown. So we invite you and encourage you also to come and be a part of that at 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. If you'd like more information on that, visit us either on Facebook, New Testament Temple, End Time Remnant Outreach Ministry, or send us an email at newtestamenttemple@gmail.com. Now, if you desire to have more information about the women on the wall, what we're doing over here at the Queen's Court where the Kingdom Woman speaks, send us an email at the Queen's Court New Testament at gmail.com if you would like more information on becoming a woman on the wall. If you have a subject, a topic that you want to hear us talk about here, you know, we are going into uncharted territories. We're touching those lanes that nobody else will, because we are getting to the root of the queen. We are getting, you know, to establish the queen in the kingdom. So we got to stop you know, dancing around the mulberry bush. We've got to start addressing some of these issues that are going on in the body of Christ. We always want to, you know, point the finger and say, oh, what's going on out there in the world? It's in the secular world. But I come to tell you, you know, and Evangelist Williams, if you can, you know, attest to it as well, it is in the body of Christ. All these issues that we see these days, it's not just out there, but it's in the body of Christ.
In the body.
We have to see it, you know, in the body in order for the body to be whole, so that the body can effectively go out and minister, you know, to those on the outside. So we bless God for you all. We thank you all for tuning in on today. Meet us here again next Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where, you know, you have all week to get your questions, your comments, any particular topic that you want to hear us talk about. Submit them again to the Queen's Court New Testament at gmail.com. Or if you'd like more information on the 5 a.m. prayer, where we are declaring and decreeing life over your life, where, you know, so many testimonies of miracles, of God turning it around, of people being saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, sanctified, you know, I mean, oh my goodness. The list just goes on. It's just been such an enormous blessing, and it's a blessing to hear those testimonies that come in from people whose lives are being changed. So if you desire, again, to get in on the 5 a.m. Well of Travail prayer, go ahead and send us an email at newtestamentchapel@gmail.com. Also, for registration information on the prophetic Bible study that goes on Monday through Friday at 10 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, the morning manna. Again, email us at the same email, newtestamenttemple@gmail. We will be able to get you registered and get you the information. You don't know what you are missing. You got to join us. But we bless God for you on tonight, and thank you so much for joining us here on the show. Evangelist Williams, we bless God for you, and thank you so much for calling in and being a part of our discussion, and really, you know, and for those awesome testimonies that really, you know, help to show the people that we're really dealing with real issues that are occurring in the body of Christ. You know, it's real, really real.
Yeah, it is.
So I thank you and appreciate you for your testimony, for your for calling in on tonight, and we bless God and pray to see you on 5 a.m. prayer. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. Good night, everyone. Amen.